And now, for the show reflecting on classic radio, Hollywood 360, with your host, Carl Amari.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr, and suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
This your place, Carl?
Yeah, what do you think?
Really? It's really awful.
But I have a lot of things that are out of order. You know, credit trouble.
Pay more attention to your schoolwork and less to the radio.
You always listen to the radio.
It's different. Our lives are ruined already.
The Whistler.
This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Hello, everyone. I'm Carl Amari, and this is Hollywood 360, the radio show that presents the best in classic radio. This hour on Hollywood 360, William Conrad stars as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon on A Christmas Story of Gunsmoke from 1958. Then Andy Devine plays Santa for the Harris Girls on part one of the Phil Harris and Alice Faye show from 1950. With me to help present these radio classics is my co-host, Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hi, how are you, Carl?
What's happening in Hollywood?
Well, I don't know if you've heard about Dolly Parton, yes?
Oh, yeah, something?
Yes.
Dollyland caught on fire or something?
Well, I don't think actual Dollyland did, but that area did. So she's offering $1,000 a month to Tennessee families who are left homeless from these wildfires.
Wow.
And what she says, and this is her quote, is there have been terrible wildfires in the Great Smoky Mountains, the same mountains where I grew up and where my people call home. So the Dollywood Foundation is accepting donations to fund on its website, which is dollywoodfoundation.org. And this My People Fund is providing $1,000 each month for a maximum of 6 months for people who have lost their homes.
Wow, that's so sweet.
So
she's
nice.
She's such a wonderful woman.
She's so nice.
Right.
And here are some of the things that are sponsoring this, and these are Dolly things. This is Dolly Parton's Dixie Stampede. I don't know if you've heard of any of these. Dolly Parton's Lumberjack Adventure.
Right.
Pirate's Voyage, the Dollywood Company, and the Dollywood Foundation. So I say hats off to Dolly Parton for this generous contribution.
Absolutely. Way to go, Dolly. All right, it's time for our first classic radio show of this edition of Hollywood 360. It's Gunsmoke, and it's a Christmas show. Let's go back to December 21st, 1958, for Where'd They Go, starring William Conrad.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. Story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
We're going to stop things at Long Branch, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, might as well. There's not much going around town tonight.
Sure do hope they got a Rip Smart and fire going.
Yeah, that wind's got a nip to it, all right.
Going to blow up worse for morning.
It might.
Well, I thought old Doc might be around here, but I don't see him no place.
Oh, Matt.
Kitty.
Yes,
oh, Miss Kitty.
Come on over to the stove where it's warm. It
feels warm right here after that wind outside.
Yeah, goes right through you, doesn't it?
I think I'll hooch over by the stove, Mr. Dillon. Might be some kind-hearted stranger who'll buy me a beer.
Chester never gives up hope. Yeah, sit down, Kitty, if you're not busy.
Oh, thanks, Matt. Don't you believe in kind-hearted strangers?
No, not since I was 9 years old.
What took you so long?
Well, I was kind of slow growing up. Would you like a beer?
Yeah, if you'll let a kind-hearted stranger buy it.
I wouldn't exactly call you a stranger, Kitty.
You'll have to admit I'm kind-hearted, though. Couple of beers, Sam.
All right.
You think a real bad storm's coming up, Matt?
Yeah, it's that time of year.
I remember the blizzard last year around Christmas time.
Yeah, it was a rough one, all right.
Matt, things will be rough this time of year, even if the weather weren't bad.
What do you mean?
Oh, holiday season. Families getting together and all, just ordinary, decent, good times.
Do people still live that way?
Not many out here. I sure don't.
Ah, not kidding.
I'm sorry, Matt. The time of year, I get to thinking too much, remembering too much.
That's not good, Kitty. It's a hard town. It's a hard country. Go soft and it'll kill you.
I remember nights you come in here after you had to kill a man. Nights you stayed till sun up, not talking, alone mostly, and dying a dozen deaths inside.
You're as sentimental as Chester.
Hmm. Oh, my God. Oh, there you are, Marshal.
Shut the doggone door, Mr. Joey. You're letting in all the cold.
Well, see, you can't do. I've been robbed, Marshal.
What?
Well, a fellow come in right after closing time, man over his face and stuck a gun in my stomach and took everything in the cash drawer. $68.
Well, it sure took you a long time to get around telling me about it.
Well, he tied me up. Left me there in the back room. I just not got loose. You gotta go after him, Marshal.
It's kind of a tall order, isn't it? Trailing a 5-hour head start.
Well, that don't matter now, because I know who he is.
Oh, I thought you said he wore a mask.
He did. But I could tell by his voice and his walk and everything about him. It was Clint Doty.
Clint Doty?
Yeah, he's a homesteader up the river.
I know him, I know him. But I can't believe that Clint's the kind who'd do a thing like that.
With him, all right. I'm 100% certain.
Well, all right. We'll ride out in the morning and bring him in.
In the morning?
If it was him, he'll be there.
But, Marshal, you...
Wilbur, I'm not going to ride 12 miles up that river bottom at midnight with a blizzard coming up for $68. No, we'll leave in the morning at sunup.
Up, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, you'd think so.
You suppose he's gonna hold up the house and try to shoot it out?
No, Doty's not that type, Chester.
Yeah, nobody never thought he was the type to hold up Mr. Jones, neither.
Well, morning, Marshal. Chester.
Oh, Doty.
How are you, Doty?
Morning, and said I got some coffee on the stove.
Well, we might warm our hands a little bit. Come on, Chester.
Yes, sir.
I reckon Medora can rustle up some eggs inside me to gain it.
Thanks, Doty, but we had breakfast before we left Dodge.
Well, you can get warm at least. Hey, what you trying to do, Marshal? Blow up a storm?
Yeah, it looks that way.
It's been snowing since daybreak out here in the river bottoms. And with that wind blowing, it's going to start drifting.
Probably will.
Well, I'll heat this coffee up a little. What brings you out this way, Marshal?
You, Doty?
Me? What do you mean?
We're here to arrest you. Take you back in.
What for?
Armed robbery.
Armed robbery? You mean that hold up at the general store?
News seems to travel fast, doesn't it? How'd you know about it?
Well,
What's all this about armed robbery?
Oh, you know my wife again.
Yeah, sure. How are you, Madora?
Good morning, ma'am.
Did I hear you accusing Clint of robbery, Marshal?
That's more a matter of Wilbur Jonas accusing him, ma'am.
When did this happen, Marshal?
Yesterday evening, around 7 o'clock.
Clint hasn't been away from this place for 2 days.
Yeah, no, Medora.
Well, a wife's word might not stand for much under the circumstances, Medora.
Are you calling me a liar?
No, Medora, stop that. There's people seen me in town yesterday evening.
And Wilbur Jonas claims he's one of them.
Well, the way I heard it, the fellow that held him up was wearing a mask.
He says he recognized your voice.
Wilbur Jonas couldn't recognize sour apples if he had a mouth full of them.
Well, I guess that'll be something for the judge to decide, ma'am.
Then you're going to take me into jail?
Unless you can prove you were somewhere else at 7 o'clock last night.
Oh, that might be kind of hard to do, Marshal.
And then we better get started. We've got a hard ride ahead of us.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I can't go off and leave Medora like this with a storm coming on.
Well, maybe one of the neighbors could come over and stay with her.
There's none closer than 5 miles, Marshal, and they all got plenty of troubles of their own this time of year.
I ain't even got enough firewood to split it up to last her more than a day and a half. I was aiming to get some laid in today.
I'm sure she's made out before.
Oh, well, maybe so, but not in her condition.
Clint.
Condition? What are you talking about?
Well, she's going to have a baby, Marshal.
Oh, for the love of...
It's mighty hard on a woman having her man took off to jail and not even wood in the house to keep warm.
Now, look, Dodie.
You know, it wouldn't take no time at all if the three of us was to pitch in together.
All right, Dodie, let's get at it. What's the matter, Chester?
Well, this cussed axe needs sharpening again, Mr. Dillon. It ain't too good a steel. The marshal's got the best one.
You couldn't prove it by me.
Well, this one sure don't hold its edge none.
Oh, here, Chester, let me touch it up for the stove.
Oh, my gracious, that itches my teeth. If you ask me, we've already chopped enough wood to last through this winter and half of that. Stop that, don't he?
That stove eats it up pretty fast.
Oh, Chester's right, Dodie. We've chopped enough.
Well, she's got to use some of it to cook with, too, you know.
Well, it's enough here to last till she can make other arrangements. Now, let's pack it into the shed and head back for town before that snow gets any worse.
Well, whatever you say, Marshal.
Mister! Well, she... You, Mrs. Bill, I've taken on some victuals. I got some nice hot stew ready.
Did you say victuals?
Now, we got to get started, Medora. It's getting late.
Oh, it won't do no harm to eat first. It'll make the trail shorter, Marshal.
Well...
Just look at all that firewood. Well, I'm right obliged to you, ma'am.
You're welcome, Medora.
I reckon I'll need every stick of it, too, with this wind driving the snow in through the north wall of the cabin.
God dang it, I clean forgot.
Forgot what?
The chinkin.
The chicken?
No, the chinkin. The chinkins all fell out of the north wall of the house. I was aiming to fix it today. I got a lot of bark slabs cut laying out back of the barn.
Now, look, Dodie.
Oh, it's mighty hard on a woman in Medora's condition with the snow and the sleet blowing in on her.
Dodie, would it be all right if we eat first? About through here, too.
You know, that ain't a bad piece of work if I do say so myself.
No, sir. A carpenter couldn't have done one bit better.
That ought to keep the wind out.
Oh, that looks fine, Marshal. Just fine. I'm mighty obliged to you, man.
Oh, that's all right.
Well, I know you got your duty to do. You got to take me in, and I want you to know there's no hard feelings about it.
Oh, sure, Dolly.
And I appreciate the way you've both been so decent. Help me get things in shape so Medora will be all right here alone. Oh, there ain't many lawmen that take this trouble.
Well, she's got enough problems without making it worse for her. Well, let's put the tools away and get started. It's going to be dark before we get to Dodge.
Yes, sir, you sure are right about her having plenty of problems, Marshal. In her condition and all. And now, the cattle gone.
The cattle gone?
Oh, of course, we only had about 20 head, but with me going to prison, maybe it's... Well, it'd been enough to see her through, her and the little one.
What do you mean, the cattle gone?
Well, I had them there in the meadow back of the corral, letting them pick clean what pasture was left. I guess they drifted off last
night. Well, of course they drifted off. When that storm hit, they turned tail and moved along with the wind. Cattle always do that.
Well, I guess it don't matter much, though. Medora couldn't take care of them nohow, not in her condition.
Well, she could if you'd hold them in the corral there next to the barn. All she'd have to do is push the hay out of the loft door.
I reckon they drifted down south there about 3 miles and come up against the bluffs. Oh, they'll probably mill around and freeze to death there if the storm keeps up.
About 3 miles, huh?
Mm-hmm. I was aiming to go after them, but of course, one man alone wouldn't have had much chance.
All right, Tony, come on. Let's go find your cattle.
You know, that turned out to be more of a chore than I thought, Marshal.
Yeah, it sure did.
I just don't know how I'd have managed without you fellas helping. We're mighty grateful to you, me and Medora both.
Well, we couldn't let the cattle freeze.
Yeah. Well, if you'll wait now till I put these lanterns in the barn, we can leave any time you say. Oh, unless, of course, you'd like some hot coffee first.
Tony, it's dark now. You know as well as I do, we're not going to ride back to Dodge tonight.
Well, say, in that case, maybe you wouldn't mind helping me kill and dress a couple of dozen hens.
Couple dozen hens?
Yeah, hang them up under the eaves to freeze.
Oh, my gracious!
Chicken broth's mighty good for a woman in Medora's place.
Look, Tony, we've already chopped your wood, fixed your house, and rounded up your cattle.
Oh, you've been mighty decent.
All right. All right, we'll help you dress your chickens. We'll make soap for you, salt down the pork, preserve eggs, anything you say up until midnight. Then I'm going to get some sleep. And at sunup, we're going to ride into Dodge, and you're going to jail. Chester. Hey, Chester, come on, wake up.
What's the matter, Mr. Dillon?
You, Toby, you're the one who's supposed to be on guard.
Huh? Why, it's after daylight. I must have dozed off for a second.
You mean a couple of hours, don't you?
Clint Doty, did he get away?
No, he's in there. I just woke him up.
Oh, well, I kind of figured he wasn't going nowhere in that storm.
What storm?
Why, it's over.
It died out during the night. You better get yourself collected, Chester. We're heading for Dodge.
My, just look at that sun on the snow with you. Now, turn out them boots out. I'd have swore there. Oh!
What's the matter?
Oh, Mr. Dillon, I'm so lame, I don't even know if I can stand up straight.
Well, keep trying.
I swear, I'm going to have to be spoon-fed for a month. I ain't never worked so hard in all my life.
Hello? Is anybody home?
Somebody outside here.
Yeah. By golly, it's dark.
Dark?
Well, come on in, you old reprobate.
I'm coming, just tying up my horse and buggy.
Wonder what he's doing out this way.
Seeing a patient, I guess. He must have left town awful early.
Say, did somebody ride up?
Yeah, it's dark. You about ready to leave, Billy?
Oh, if you're still a mind to take me.
Nothing's changed.
Well, Matt, Chester... So this is where you've been hiding out.
How are you, Doc?
Yeah. Oh, good morning, Clint.
Morning, Doc.
Got any coffee?
Oh, have some in 2 shakes, Doc. Medora!
Yes, Clint?
Will you come out and fix some coffee?
Yes, a minute.
What are you doing out here this time of morning, Doc?
Oh, the Murdoch baby was acting up, touched the croup, so I spent the night there. Thought I'd just drop over and say hello to the Dodies, as long as I was this close.
You could have done that in town. I'm taking him in.
You're taking him in? For what?
Robbing Jonas General's store night before last.
Robbing the... Now, where'd you get that idea?
Jonas claims he recognized him.
Wilbur Jonas hasn't got the sense the good Lord gave a gopher. Matt, they caught the fella who'd done that.
What?
That's right. It was some drifter riding through town. He threw a lot of money into a poker game and the boys got kind of suspicious. And he finally admitted the whole thing. So they borrowed a jail key from Judge Bent and... locked him up until you get back. Well, Clint, didn't you tell him?
Well, I...
Tell me
what? Clint, he couldn't have done it, Matt. He was playing poker at the time with me and Moss Grimmick in the back room of the livery stable.
Dodie.
No, Marshal, I didn't lie to you. You asked me if I could prove where I was, and I didn't know Doc's word was actual proof.
Clint, Dodie, He done that deliberate, Mr. Dillon, letting us think he was guilty just to get us to do all that work for him.
And I suppose the story about your wife having a baby.
Oh, that's the gospel truth, Marshal.
Well, it sure is, Matt. I'll vouch for that. Let me see now. It's about another 6 months. Let me see. Around the 1st of July.
First of July?
Yes.
I didn't say when, Marshal. And you didn't ask me.
Ain't you gonna wish us well?
The 1st of July. So help me, Dodie, for 2 cents.
Oh, we might even name him after you, Marshal, if we can't think of nothing else.
So help. All right, Dodie. Now, how about some of that coffee, huh?
That's the first portion of Gunsmoke from 1958. More when we return.
More Hollywood 360 after these important messages.
When a belt drive blows out at 3 a.m, who's got your back? Granger's got your back. When you need safety products to help prevent job site injuries, Granger's got your back. When you need to keep a business running, or a facility, or a school, or a factory, Granger's got your back. Whatever you need, whenever you need it, Granger's got your back. I love Granger. You know why? Because Granger's got my back. Call, click Granger.com, or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom sleep gels. They're non-habit-forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom Sleep Gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
The holidays are here. This year, be sure to get real cash back on all your shopping with Ibotta. Download the free Ibotta app, I-B-O-T-T-A, and get cash back on gifts, groceries, and alcohol for all your celebrations. Just unlock, shop, and get cash. Gifts for them, cash for you. Download Ibotta free today and get $10 just for trying it. $10. I-B-O-T-T-A. This holiday, you've gotta Ibotta.
A can-do attitude can do a lot. And with an extra $20 in your pocket, it can do even more. Thanks to AutoZone Rewards, when you spend $20 five times, you'll earn a $20 reward. It's the easiest way to get rewarded for tackling the jobs on your to-do list. So you can turn those brake jobs, oil jobs, and adding 500 watts of bass to your stereo system jobs into done jobs. Sign up today so you can fix your car with confidence. Hoods up, America.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Burger King presents Breakfast Stories. Today's story, Big Jim and 3 pancakes for $0.89.
I don't care what you call them, pancakes, flipjacks, flapcakes. The point is, at Burger King, you can get a stack of 3 of them for 89 cents. What kind of deal is this?
A great one? Fill up on 3 golden pancakes for 89 cents. This is not breakfast. This is a Burger King breakfast. Get 3 pancakes for $0.89. Only at Burger King. Limited time only. Price and participation vary.
The good news is that if you go to Buffalo Wild Wings, order from the Fast Break lunch menu, and don't get your food within 15 minutes, your lunch is free. The bad news is we don't plan on taking longer than 15 minutes. Free lunches? Are you crazy? What kind of business model is that? Lunch fast or it's free. We do it for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
For a limited time only at participating locations. Valid for tables of 6 or less. Other restrictions apply. See a participating location for details.
Hi, Carl Amari here for Remind Magazine, America's monthly blast from the past. Each month, Remind Magazine focuses on a pop culture theme from the 1950s through the 1980s, covering a wide spectrum of topics from Marilyn Monroe to Marilyn Manson. In every 50-plus page issue of Remind Magazine, you'll find dozens of puzzles, movie posters, trivia contests, classic comics, crossword puzzles, vintage advertisements for products from days gone by, and much more. And every issue features my column, Radio 360, where I I focus on a celebrity from Hollywood's golden age and write about his or her radio work. And next to my article is the monthly schedule of the classic radio shows I'll be playing each month, so you'll never miss your favorites. Remind Magazine is available at Barnes & Noble and Walmart stores throughout the country. But because I write for this magazine, I'll let you in on a little secret. You can get Remind Magazine for about 60% less than the newsstand price by ordering it online at remindmagazine.com. Visit remindmagazine.com and subscribe today.
Did you know that your child's teeth contain precious stem cells? Did you also know that those same stem cells can be safely recovered and stored for use in stem cell therapies and treatments throughout their life? Here at BioEden, we specialize in banking your child's stem cells so that they can be available whenever and wherever they need them. Call BioEden today at 888-315-3843. That's 888-315-3843, or visit our website at BioEden.com. That's BioEden.
And now back to Hollywood 360 with Carl Amari.
Welcome back. I'm Carl Amari. This is Hollywood 360. Before we get back to Gunsmoke, I want to remind all of our listeners about our website, Lisa. It's called freeradioclassics.com. This is a website that allows anyone listening to the show to go to the website, enter their name and email address, and receive an email from me every Monday, so 52 emails a year. And in that email will be an embedded classic radio show, a 30-minute classic radio show like Suspense 1 week, and maybe Gunsmoke, then Jack Benny, Fibber McGee and Molly. But not only do you get this digitally remastered classic radio show, but also the email I send them will also have a photograph of the star of that program, also a synopsis about the show, the original broadcast date, who was in the cast, the sponsor, the network, and other fun stuff, all in a newsletter that comes to them each Monday for 52 Mondays every year. So just go to freeradioclassics.com. It's absolutely free, nothing to buy. Just put your first and last name and your email address. You'll be subscribed. And you even subscribed to this.
Even me.
Yeah, even Lisa subscribed.
I look forward to my first email.
Mike, have you subscribed?
I subscribed when I knew about it.
Okay.
I had to test it out and make sure it was working.
Yeah, it definitely works. So we've had thousands and thousands of people sign up for it. It's fantastic. Just go to freeradioclassics.com. And if you forget the website, just go to our regular website and click the banner. There's a banner at our website. Just click it. Take you right to the website, freeradioclassics.com. Also, let's really quickly talk about the Cat's Pride drawing, okay?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Lisa.
Okay, so we love our drawing. At the end of every single month, Dan Jaffe comes in and draws out one lucky winner to win an entire year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, which we have realized is the finest kitty litter on the market. So what you need to do is take a picture of you and your cat, or just your cat is fine as well, and send it to catspridephoto@gmail.com. We will pick a lucky winner, and an entire year's supply of this premium cat litter is truly a wonderful prize for anybody who owns a cat.
Right.
And we know about this product. I use it. Mike uses it. Your daughter has a cat, right?
Yep.
So we've all tried this product ourselves, and this Cat's Pride, a fresh and light ultimate care, comes in the green jug. You can find it at Walmart or Jewel or Amazon. And we think it's the best on the mark. We hope you'll give it a shot.
Yeah, and when you send the picture in, make sure you include your name, your cat's name, your city, and your state.
Right, and you probably have seen the commercials with Katherine Heigl as a therapist, and people come in and bring their kitty cats, and they sit on the couch with Katherine Heigl, and it's a very humorous campaign.
It is. And yeah. Katherine Heigl being the spokesperson for the product, and she is the head of the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, so a portion of all of the proceeds go to help save cats and dogs.
That's right. So check it out. Cat's Pride Kitty Litter. Send in your picture of you and your cat, or just your cat, to catspridephoto@gmail.com. All right, it's time for the conclusion now of Gunsmoke. Let's go back to December 21st, 1958, for Where'd They Go, starring William Conrad.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with editorial supervision by John Meston. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Virginia Gregg, and Ralph Moody. Charlie Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. This is George Walsh inviting you to join us again next week for another story on Gunsmoke.
And that's Gunsmoke from December 21st, 1958, with Where'd They Go, starring William Conrad. Also in the cast, Parley Bear, Georgia Ellis, Howard McNear, Ralph Moody, Joseph Kearns, and Virginia Gregg. George Walsh doing the announcing. That was sponsored by Tums. I need to use Tums because I do this radio show with Lisa, so I use Tums all the time. I bring it with
that,
me.
That doesn't even make any sense.
You upset my stomach.
Oh,
as heard on CBS. That's Gunsmoke. That got her. Look, I really got her. Look, she's cracking up over there.
That was funny.
Cracking up over there, Mike. All right, it's time for Phil Harris and Alice Faye. Now, what's the story about Phil Harris and Alice Faye now?
Phil Harris
your
and Alice
mom,
Faye. Oh,
your
the,
mom?
My story?
Yeah.
My mom's name is Alice Faye, and her parents named her that after Alice Faye.
So her name is Alice Faye Matanke.
Yes, it is.
And so your mom's parents were such fans of Phil Harris and Alice Faye.
I think it was my mom's mom.
Yeah.
Who was a big fan, and so much so that she's named after her.
Isn't
that
crazy?
Which is such a tribute.
I mean, here before we even met, you had a connection.
Isn't that
to classic radio?
I didn't even realize it until after that.
Bizarre.
It is. You're bizarre.
Wow, you are. You're from another planet.
I know.
You're from Uranus. I'm from Mars, and
something.
You're from Uranus.
I'll take it.
Okay, it's time now for Phil Harris and Alice Faye. Let's go back to December 24th, 1950. For Andy Devine as Santa Claus, starring Phil Harris and Alice Faye.
From Hollywood, the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. Written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. It is Christmas Eve, and like all of you good people, the Harrises are busy making last-minute preparations.
Let's see now. My presents are all wrapped. I have the wreath on the door, the holly in the windows, and... Phil, what are you doing?
Sweeping out the fireplace.
What for?
So Santa won't get his suit sooty. I don't want no sloppy Saint Nick around my house.
Well, of course, dear. And what time do you expect old Clyde...
Clyde?
Yes, Santa Clyde. I hope his wife is with him, too.
His wife?
Yeah, Santa Myrtle.
What's gotten into you?
I'm just talking your language. I overheard you telling the children a Christmas story this afternoon, and everybody's name was either Myrtle or Clyde.
Now you're just exaggerating.
I am, huh? Wait a minute. Phyllis, come here a minute, dear.
What do you want, Mommy?
Daddy was telling you a story this afternoon about Santa. What are the names of his reindeer?
Dancer, Prancer, Donner, Blitzen, Myrtle, Robin, Clyde.
Well, that was very good, dear, except you left one out.
Which one?
Irving. He's the little one on the end.
Oh, girls, doesn't the house look beautiful all decorated?
Oh, it looks wonderful, Mommy. But, Mommy, Daddy, we want to ask you a favor. We'd like to stay up and see Santa Claus when he brings the presents tonight. Could we?
Well, honey, he has a lot of other stops to make, and he might get here very late, and then
oh,
he...
Oh, can't we, Daddy? Please?
Well... Okay. Now, you kids continue to behave yourselves, and I promise that you'll see Santa. Now, will you run along and play?
Oh, thanks, Daddy. Gee, Phyllis, I can hardly wait for tonight.
Oh, Phil. Phil, why did you promise the children that? Now, if they don't see Santa, they'll be very disappointed.
But they'll see him. And just to make sure, I'm going to dress up like Santa and come down that chimney. They won't be able to tell me from the real one. Yes, dear?
Don't you dress up and make believe you're Santa like last year. Boy, was that corny.
Alice, I still can't figure out how they knew it was me last year. What did I do that was wrong?
For one thing, you were supposed to come in singing Jingle Bells.
I did.
Yes, I know, but those lyrics, I can still hear them.
Ham hocks and turnip greens, they melt right in your mouth. A candied yams and a hominy grits, and that's what I like about the South. Yeah! got more applause than I do. What's so wrong about those lyrics?
Well, that isn't the way we sing it up north.
Well, can I help it if you Yankees don't know the right word? Oh, but Alice, I guess you're right. We're going to have to get somebody else to play Santa.
I guess we will. And another thing, it's Christmas Eve. When are you going to get the tree?
Oh, I bought that this afternoon. It's at the market. I didn't have room in my car to carry it, so I asked Willie to pick it up on his way over. We'll have the tree. That I'm not worried about. But gee whiz, honey, who are we going to get to play Santa Claus?
Hey, wait a minute, Phil. I have an idea. Let's get Don Wilson to play Santa.
Yeah. Old Fatso. He'll be great.
Don is our man. I'll call him right now and see if he can come over tonight.
Yeah, you go call him, huh? Hey, that's swell. Now the kids won't be disappointed. Santa will show up. Uh-oh, that must be Willie with the tree.
Hiya, Curly.
Well, if it ain't Francis the Red-Nosed Reindeer. An early go, huh? Merry Christmas, Friendly.
Merry Christmas, Curly. I got a present for you. Here it is.
For me? You got a present for little old curly-headed me?
Yeah, I got you.
Oh, Frankie, that's sweet of you. I don't know what to say.
Well, that's all right, Curly.
But the thought, you don't know how I appreciate it. Well, it touches me deeply, and I...
If you're going to get sloppy about it, I'll take it back. Well, don't stand there. Open it up, see what it is.
Oh, gee, Frankie, just what I wanted. Tissue paper.
The present's under the paper. Here it is.
Why, it's a bottle.
It's not just a bottle. It's imported champagne.
You bought a bottle of champagne for me? And gee whiz, it's almost half full, too.
They didn't have any splits, so I bought a magnum and siphoned it off. Where's Alice?
Oh, she's inside calling Don Wilson. See, the kids want to see Santa Claus tonight, so we asked Don to play it for us.
Why are you getting Don Wilson to play Santa?
Oh, what else am I going to do?
Well, let him stay up and see the real Santa Claus.
Yeah, but I don't know what time he's going to get. Can I have that again, Herman?
Yeah. Why don't you let the kids see the real Santa Claus?
Oh, kid, you better get some sleep now. Stand up a little bit too late.
So you're another one of those cynics, huh? A wise guy who don't believe.
You do?
Of course. Just because you've never seen him don't mean he's not there. You must realize, Curly, there are some things in life that are inexplicable. There exist certain psychic phenomena that are ethereal and beyond the comprehension of we mere mortals. Don't you agree?
Oh, indubitably.
You can take my word for it. The real guy will show up. I see him every Christmas.
Remley, tell me, how come you see Santa Claus every Christmas and I don't?
Well, Curly, I can best explain that by saying there are a lot of things I see that you don't.
Yeah, that I know, but I'm talking about Christmas, not New Year's Eve.
Well, all I gotta say is it's a good thing kids have more common sense and faith than some grown-ups, or Christmas wouldn't be much fun. I know that tonight old Saint Nick and his reindeer will come flying through the sky.
Yeah, but do you mind if we have somebody stand in case he's grounded by a heavy smog over L.A.?
All right, scoff if you will, infidel.
Phil, I just called Don Wilson and he can't make it.
Merry Christmas, Alice.
Oh, hello, Frankie. Merry Christmas. As I was saying, Phil, Don can't make it. But he said he has a lot of actor friends, and he'll send one of them over.
Oh, darn it. Don would have been perfect.
Hey, Alice, it's none of my business, but why hire a phony Santa Claus when the kids are going to see the real one?
Well, we just wanted to... What did he say, Phil?
Paying no attention to him, honey. He ain't been the same since he switched to yummy yogurt.
I don't understand you people. You seem to have lost faith. You got the house decorated, lights outside, holly wreaths in the windows, and a beautiful Christmas.
Wait a minute. Where's your Christmas tree?
It's coming. It's coming. Just take your time. Willie's bringing it over. And if you don't think that I have the Christmas spirit, Remley, will you see that tree? Oh, it's a beauty.
It better be.
It is. Don't worry. Remley, it's about 8 feet tall, and it's nice and full, and it's green, and... Uh-oh, that must be Willie with the tree now. Come in!
Hi-ho, everybody, and a Merry Christmas!
Hi-ho? Get a load of the vagabond liver.
Well, I got the tree.
Good, Willie. I'll go out in the car and help you carry it in.
Oh, that won't be necessary. I have it right here in one of these bags.
In a bag? Well, how'd you get an 8-foot tree in a bag?
Oh, I didn't get the 8-foot one. That was much too expensive, so instead I purchased this 2-foot table model. How do you like it?
Willie, what kind of a color is that?
Shocking pink. Isn't it lovely?
Oh, Willie, a shocking pink Christmas tree. Isn't that a little peculiar?
Oh, on the contrary, dear. The man said that if you trim a shocking pink tree with cerise ornaments and chartreuse bulbs, it will look positively scintillating.
Well, la-di-da!
Oh, what do you know? What do you think of it, Philip?
I'll give you 3 seconds to get that shredded lox out of here. Oh, brother, how much trouble can you have? No tree, and I'm worried about the guy Don sending to play Santa.
Well, Philip, if you want someone to play the part, I shall be only too happy to portray Christopher Kringle.
Christopher? Well, Donner, my Blitzen. Find Santa Claus you'd make.
I'd make an excellent one. I'm quite an actor, you know. Mm-hmm. I can see myself popping out of the chimney, bounding into the living room and saying, ho, 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 and a Merry Christmas to you little kiddies. And what do you, we darlings, desire as a Yuletide memento?
Thank you, Tallulah Bankhead. Look, I'm sorry, Willie. We can't use you. It won't work. I can't.
Well, if you don't want me to help, I won't. I have to run along anyway. I have to meet my girlfriend at the taxidermist.
I hope they did a good job on her. Goodbye. Imagine that little squirt playing Santa Claus. Why, he couldn't impress me if he came in here with a bag full of sponsors. Bag full, wouldn't that be beautiful? I hope that guy that Don's sending over will make a good Santa.
Curly, stop worrying about your make-believe Santas. The real one will be here. What we have to worry about is getting a decent tree.
Oh, yeah, come on. Look, Remley, we'll go over to the market and pick the one up that I ordered. Hey, we'll be back soon, Alice.
Okay, dear. Gee, I hope the man Don is sending over looks the part. If he doesn't, the girls will think that...
Mommy, it's getting late. When is Santa going to get here? Gee, Mommy, do you think maybe he isn't coming?
Now, don't fret, girls. Of course he's coming.
Oh, Remley, we're too late. The market's closed.
Oh, wait a minute. The lights are still on. And look, there's Julius.
Where?
Right over there. He's rifling the cash register.
He's counting the receipts. I'll get him to open it up. Hey, Julius! Open up the door, Julius! Come on, we want to get in.
Hey, hurry it up, will you, kid? We can't wait all night.
Come on, kid, open that door. I said open the door.
It's open and stop punching me in the nose. What do you hoodlums want?
We want a big tree.
Who for?
For Mr. Harris.
Oh. And what time is the lynching?
Julius, don't be a smarty pants.
Oh, there's a jazzy piece of dialogue.
Look, kid, I want to buy that big Christmas tree I saw here this afternoon. I don't like the one you sold Willie.
Mr. Harris, I'm disappointed. I saved that tree just for you. Shocking pink is your color. It matches your eyes.
Oh, that's a jazzy piece of dialogue. Look, I want that big one I saw this afternoon.
Okay, come on in the
it back and I'll get it for you.
All right, come on, Remley. You can help me.
I'll wait here at the counter, Curly.
Mr. Remley, get your mitts off and I can't register.
Is that what this is? I thought it was a spinet piano. I was trying to play White Christmas.
Remley. Now get away from there and help us carry this tree out to the car. Where is it, Julius?
Right here.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. And thanks for saving it for me, kid.
That's okay. Merry Christmas, Mr. Harris.
Same to you. Oh, Julius, by the way, drop over to the house a little later. We got a little present for you. Come over there, huh? All right, now come on, Remley. Let's take this tree home and get it trimmed.
Yeah.
That's the last ornament. Gee, the tree looks pretty.
It sure does. How do you like it, Curly?
Oh, sure. Looks swell. But where's the guy that's going to play Santa Claus? He's supposed to be here by 10, and it's after 11 now, and you... Frankie, what have you got there?
Milk and cookies for Santa Claus. I put them on the mantle for him every year.
Milk and cookies? That old man's been working like a dog tonight. Let's leave him something more nourishing, like a beer and a couple of pretzels.
Don't be a funny drummer. I'll put the milk and cookies over the fireplace. Where are the kids, Alice?
Oh, they're upstairs waiting for Santa.
Well, everybody's waiting. When's a guy going to show up?
Be patient, Curly. He's got a long trip from the North Pole. Besides, his reindeer ain't as young as they used to be, and his
sleigh... Keep quiet. The least Don's friend can do is to get here on time.
This subterfuge is all so unnecessary.
Uh-oh. That must be Santa now. I'll let him in.
And I'll go with you, honey.
Well, Merry Christmas, Santa Claus!
Oh, Merry Christmas and hiya, filthy!
That's the first portion of the Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show from 1950. We'll have more of Hollywood 360 after these words.
More Hollywood 360 after these important messages. Now back to the best in classic radio on Hollywood 360.
Make sure you go to freeradioclassics.com. Get your free 52 classic radio shows every year. How? Just go to freeradioclassics.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter that comes to you every Monday. And in that newsletter will be an embedded classic radio show, 30-minute show. Maybe one week it's Suspense. The next week, Fibber McGee and Molly. The next week, Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show. You name it, we send it to you every Monday, 52 weeks out of a year. Just go to freeradioclassics.com. It's our way of thanking you for listening to Hollywood 360. Next time, it's the conclusion to the Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show. Then, Vincent Price stars in a Christmas episode of The Saint. Don't miss it. We'll see you then.